Well, it's been a while since I've preached, and I'm kind of excited, and I'm really, whenever I get excited, or I just feel really pumped, man. And I don't know if it's because working out recently or playing hockey, which is kind of an aggressive sport, it just brings that out more, even more in me. But I'm ready to go. And listening to Jared, and he was fired up, all the more. So, but I haven't preached in a while, so just bear with me, and hopefully I'm communicating somewhat clearly. So I'm going to read a verse. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much just for the opportunity to come up here tonight and to read from your word and your scriptures. And I thank you so much just for each individual that you have placed in my life and for blessing each one of us in the unity of each other, God. And I'm so appreciative just for your word and the fact that you laid it out so clearly. I pray that I can speak clearly tonight, and then everything I do, I honor and glory you, Father. And I pray that we can approach your scriptures with a humble heart and just apply them and make them, let's be doers of the word, Father, and not just merely hearers. As we go throughout our work lives and just spend time with family and people on a day-to-day basis, God, I pray that we can apply these to our lives and do your word and your will. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. So let's start turning to Luke 15. I'm going to preach on the prodigal son. And I wanted to read that last verse. It's out of Psalm 73. But David, I want to say it's David, but the writer, obviously, is looking at everything that the world has. And it's really easy to get caught up and say, wow, look at all the things that they got going for them. Life is pleasant, life is easy, you know, look at what they have. But, obviously, you look at the end, and you look at the real, beyond the superficial, you look at the depth behind that, then you understand who really has the real riches. You really understand who really wins in the end. And being with God is all that matters. God is the only thing that matters. Being with Him in His sanctuary is the only thing that matters. And this really ties in with the prodigal son. So, prodigal means spends recklessly and wastefully extravagant. And, you know, the word reckless basically means thoughtless, careless, impulsive. These things are synonymous to that word. And there's a song out there. I'm not going to go into it. It's called The Reckless Love of God. I like the heart behind it, but I don't think that God was thoughtless in His love towards us. I think He was very intentional. He knew exactly how to speak to our hearts. And I thank God that He is not reckless. But I like the heart behind it. So, but I do want to bring up one part of prodigal, and it is throwing away of wealth. Throwing away of riches. And I want you to really remember that. Throwing away of your wealth. Throwing away of riches. Just, I don't care, I'm impulsive and I want this now. And I'm going to have it now. And I'm going to throw all this stuff away. And it really actually describes the world very well. The passing pleasures of sin. But in the setting behind Luke 15, Jesus is hanging out with sinners, He's eating with them. And the Pharisees and scribes, they're not too happy about that. They're actually really upset about that. And Jesus talks to them, and He brings out three parables in Luke 15. And He talks about the lost sheep leaves the 99 to go find the one, and the lost coin. And then here we have the lost son. Well, whether one was just naturally gone adrift, the sheep, or the coin just somehow got lost, or maybe we even willfully choose to leave, you know, as a prodigal son. All three of these basically are showing how much God desperately, or not desperately, but He earnestly wants to bring us back to Him. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, right? And that's what He was trying to get His point across. He's saying, you know, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. You know, the sick need a doctor. He came to seek and save the lost. And so let's start in verse 11. Luke 15, verse 11. Then He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided him his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. I'm going to stop right there for right now. I want to focus on three things from this story. First, we're going to focus on the younger son, basically just this section I just read. And then I want to focus on the older son, the contrast, kind of. And then I want to focus on the father's love. And there's a lot of things, there's so many points in this passage of Scripture. It blew my mind just reading over this. There are so many different ways you could preach over this, and you could preach forever. But there were some key things that stuck out to me personally, and some things that really impacted me a lot. And hopefully it will mean something to y'all as well. But let's talk about the younger son. So he acts disrespectful. Now, in our culture, it's kind of like this a little bit, but I actually was looking into this, and in a lot of Middle Eastern ways of thinking, for someone to ask for their inheritance before their father is gone is not the most nice thing to do. Dad, come here, give me half of my inheritance, you know, and the dad's still there. Okay, son, you know, take your inheritance. And so the son just runs off with that, and not only does he just take his inheritance before his father is passed on, but he goes and he squanders it, and he uses it for very sinful things that are actually very disgraceful. And now, a lot of people think that they would say that as far as that respect, he almost had viewed his dad as good as dead. The fact that he would take his inheritance, he would take that, and he would just go off to another country because his father hadn't passed on yet, and he was going to just take his inheritance move completely far away. But that's what Middle Easterners think. And that could not have been the thing at the time, but it's worth thinking about. And, you know, I started thinking about my parents' land. And they got a couple hundred acres out there. And it's like I go up to my dad and I just thinking, you know, Dad, can you give me half of the, just give me the back 40? And give me, like, a few of Mom's horses and I'm going to just go and sell it, and somebody else is going to move into the back of your acreage, and I'm going to take your favorite horses, and I'm going to just sell them away, and then come to find out with that money, I went and did horrible things in Europe or Africa, or, you know, I just went away, far away. That would be a very disrespectful thing for me to do. And I'm just putting it to my perspective where it's personal. I know my dad would not appreciate that, especially as much as I know that he loves me, and that would hurt him. So what the prodigal son was, what he did was a very irresponsible, inconsiderate, and disrespectful thing. But I want to think a little bit past that, just past my parents' back 40. You know, I started reflecting on this, and Luke was talking about grace, and I've been thinking about grace a lot too. And what do you have that has not been given to you? That what do you have that you've worked for? What do you have that you have gone out and achieved and grasped onto yourself? Nothing. And it's actually very humbling to me to think about the very brain that I have to be able to reason, the very body that I have to be able to do anything, just get a drink of water, and then, you know, the fact that I can even enjoy. All of these things are a gift. Nothing that we have is, I deserve this. That was all God. You know, so thinking about that, I started thinking about my people skills. What if I started using my people skills to only benefit myself? Now, remember the prodigal son, he took his riches and he used them for his own pleasure and his own gain. And thinking on a spiritual level, are we being prodigal with our riches that we've been given? The fact that we have people in our lives, our neighbors, you know, our coworkers, our friends, our family, every gift and every talent that you have, are we taking that for granted? Are we being not good stewards of the wealth and riches that God has given us? I had to ask myself, am I being prodigal? Or I could even word it as, am I being reckless or impulsive? Am I being wastefully extravagant with what I've been given? You know, these are honest questions. And many times, maybe we're not completely that way, but we notice that maybe sometimes we get a little bit off on the wrong track, right? And it takes a certain kind of humility and repentance. Now, the prodigal son, he got to a point where there was nothing of the world. He had exhausted everything. And he realized that it was even better to be a servant, basically, of his father than to live that life out there. He's like, you know what, I don't even care. Just make me a hired slave, Dad. And the father, obviously he didn't look at him like that, but that's how bad it got out there. Another thing is God, he even treats servants, the father did, he treated servants even better than you would have it out in the world. So misuse of riches and gifts, are we using them for selfish reasons or are we using them for God? Luke brought up the talents, and I was thinking about those a lot. And, you know, I started thinking about excuses. So somebody who's given a lot of talents, a lot of gifts, and a lot of different ways, you know, you might say, well, I'm doing way greater things than this person. well, God might have given you way more to work with. And if you're using that, but Jesus, I mean, Jesus obviously was way above us all. Jesus is the standard. But sometimes I look at that and I say, you know, wow, I might have more talents than this, or I have a different talent than that. So I might not be using my talents to the best of their ability, you know. Or maybe we don't think we have many talents. Maybe we don't think we have much going for us. And so we end up being like the guy who just hit it, and we don't end up using any of them, right? Wherever we're at, we need to have Jesus as the standard. And I like the example that I heard one time. It doesn't matter if you're in high school, college, or professional sports. The skill level might be different, but those guys work just as hard at each level. The college guys are super competitive. There's a lot of high school teams, especially in Texas, like Allen, Texas. They're super competitive, but they're obviously not as skillful as the professionals. But does that mean that they don't work as hard? No, not at all. So there are a lot of people out there lost, and we need to make sure that... Well, I'll get into that. So as we go throughout day to day, I started thinking about it. I'm spending 40 hours a week and just working, and over 12 hours a week driving, and I basically just spent all my time with my coworkers for 4 days. It can be very easy to get in the wrong mindset. And it can be very easy to maybe, I don't want to even drift into a lukewarm mindset either. Am I being proactive? It's one thing to just go throughout day to day and just not do bad things, but am I actually using the talents that God has given me aggressively, proactively, reaching out to those people and being a good example for the lost? Let's pray for them, you know. Let's start turning to Romans chapter 2. Do we take every thought captive? Romans 2, in verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Repentance. That's what people... God desires for every person to come to repentance. And God has set it up so we have that capability to come to Him. Through His grace, everybody has opportunity to turn back. And God earnestly wants us all to turn back. Luke 15. Let's go back there. Start in verse 17. But when he came to himself, the younger son, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He was humble. You know, maybe we find ourselves drifting into that mentality where we realize we have not been using our riches and our talents and the grace that God has given us the way we should. Maybe we just are coming to that realization now. I was coming to that realization as I was writing this up, and I was thinking of different ways that I could be more proactive. But it's not too late. We got to come to the Father. Let's keep reading in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We're going to go over that a little bit more in a little bit. But another thing if we find ourselves drifting into this mindset of not using our talents for God or misusing our wealth for our own selfish reasons, it's never too late. We can still turn back. Verse 25, Luke 15. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry, it would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him?" And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Oh, wow, I'm running low on time. All right, so let us be able to distinguish between duty and love, faith and law. Obviously, he's talking to the Pharisees. They look a lot like, more like the older son to me. They were saying, "You know what? Why are you hanging out with these guys?" Jesus said, "I came to help the sick. You know, you guys are basically the older son. You're just doing things out of duty. You're doing things out of..." Well, we're going to actually read about that in a second. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15. But I've also heard another person talk about this before. And when the heart is wrong, even the love of the Father can be distasteful. These guys, I mean, we look at Jonah, and he was upset because he's like, "Man, I knew you were going to forgive those guys." He was using his judgment. And then we look at the guys who show up late to work. They get the same amount of pay. Somebody might say, "That's not fair." Or who are we to judge what God has, where He wants to give favor? So 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. So Samuel said, "As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Obedience. Obviously, he's not saying don't sacrifice, but the older son missed the picture. He was there with the father, and he was upset because he loved his other son. You know, we can have a tendency to do that. What's fair? You know, I deserve this. This is what I deserve. No, it doesn't work like that. God has given us everything, and we have not really deserved anything. You know, in Luke 4, Jesus whips out scripture and he closes it, you know, and he says, "This has been fulfilled today." And they are marveling at him. And they're like, "Aren't you the son of Joseph, the son of a carpenter?" By the way, there's nothing wrong with being son of a carpenter, Dad. So they're like, "Who is this guy?" And Jesus is talking about in Elijah's day, there are a lot of widows, right? But guess who got help? In Elisha's day, there were a lot of lepers, right? But Naaman, a Syrian guy, he's almost like an enemy of the Jews in a sense. He's the one who gets cleansed. And so the Jews got really upset about that. See, it's a faith thing. He's trying to get faith. And that was a Gentile versus Jew type of thing. But faith, it wasn't about duty, it wasn't about law, it wasn't about just doing the right things. You know, the older son, he was out in the field, he was working, you know, he was doing what needed to be done, right? And he gets upset because of the faith of the younger son, and the father loves that about him, and he's willing to lavish him with a robe and a fatted calf. And I see this sometimes can well up within me. I should not be upset about the love of another person and what might be going great for them. I might be saying to myself, man, I've worked hard at this and that and that, and look at them, they're just succeeding in like 9 different ways. That's really selfish. Amen for them, you know. God has He takes each of us down our own path. And our responsibility is to make sure that we are in love with God. Are you in love with God? Because I'll bring up that point again. When the heart is wrong, even God's love can be distasteful. They did not really truly appreciate God and His love. They wanted to be the favorites. So let's go back to Luke 15. We're going to read verses 20 through 24. And he arose and came to his father, the younger son. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. So the son goes out, he treats his father very disrespectfully, he treats him as if he was dead. Come to find out, he was the one who was dead. Father said he was dead, and now he is alive. But the Lord's compassion, that motivates me. You know, I think about Jesus, the way that he interacted with people everywhere he went. I always think about whenever he says, do this in remembrance of me. I think about Jesus every day of his life. He gave his life and he loved people. He loved them. And love is not afraid of pain. Love does not shy away from pain. Verse 20 is, Lord doesn't follow us into sin. You don't see the father walking around with the boy, you know, as he's doing whatever he's doing. The father is patient and he's waiting. But he's waiting for the younger son to repent. He's waiting for him to repent. And the thing is that God, no matter where you're at, if you turn back to him, he will see you from a long way off. And he'll come running to you. He's always, always waiting for you to turn to him. And that actually gives me great... I very appreciative of that. Because different people are at different places all the time. And God is always willing to come to us where we're at. And he's waiting for us to repent and turn to him. And to pursue him and to love him. And he can help us from there. So come to Christ. Let's go to start turning to 1 Corinthians 15. And I heard a very impactful message one time. It's about Hosea. And, you know, the parable of the lost son, the parable of the lost coin, and the lost sheep. You can see the love of God. It is very evident. God is chasing. He is searching for that lost sheep. He's searching for the lost coin. And Hosea, we're pretty familiar with it, some of us. Hosea hears rumors of his adulterous wife. And she did things with other people, and she might have had children out of other people. It was a horrible, horrible relationship. And she got in with the wrong company, and she ended up, Hosea had to go and basically buy her back. And you know, that motivated me when I heard about that, because that was obviously a picture of God in Israel. But the love to be hurt like that, to go and to try to buy us back in the midst of sin. And James 4 talks about that. He talks about adulterous people. Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Are we being the prodigal son and just taking everything that God has blessed us with and just throwing it out to the world and becoming one of them? And that story about Hosea impacted me a lot, though. The example that was set there, and God was trying to communicate something to us. But God was willing to go, and Hosea went in the midst of that, and he went and bought her back after everything that had happened. And his heart ached. His heart ached. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's jump up to verse 17. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, and by man also came the resurrection of the dead, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. My son who is dead is now alive. Obviously that was in the context of that particular conversation. But we can see that ahead, right? And not getting into, most of us here are pretty solid on salvation. We understand that. We understand we're alive in Christ Jesus, right? Let us not take what our riches and be throwing them away. If we are in Christ, we are alive, amen? People are dead everywhere. People are empty everywhere. Everywhere. They are empty. They have nothing. They feel abandoned. We are alive. We see it. We see it clearly in the Scripture. The world desperately needs God. This actually goes in line with what Jared was saying. But the world desperately needs God. And God earnestly and eagerly wants to reach out to them. He's waiting for them to start walking to Him so He can run to them while they're still a long way off. Let us not just take the riches God has given us and just throw them away. Use them to our delight, you know. But let us come back to God. Let us be humble. Let us be humble. And every time I think about this scripture, it motivates me, because I think about the love and the compassion that God had on me. The compassion that He was willing to do everything to take the pain. Let us not misuse our wealth and riches, but let us seek and save the lost. Thank you.